Okay, I want to talk today about next couple of weeks. We're just going to talk a little bit about mental health in the Bible. And because I think it's one of those times when we come into January where it doesn't January feel hard sometimes. You know, some people, they always call it Blue January, and people struggle and people go through stuff. And I've noticed this January in particular, it has felt like the hardest January. Actually, as a pastor, I've experienced with people's circumstances they're going through. And the problem is, we come through December and we have Christmas, and Christmas is all exciting and everyone gets really exciting and jolly. And then we get to Boxing Day and we go, oh, great. Okay, that's it, all over. And then you just about get a balance right because you got New Year and you got a New Year's resolution and you're really excited because this year is going to be different. 2024 is going to be different to 2023. It's going to be amazing. You set your New Year's resolutions. You're really going to go for it. This is going to be different. And then you start work on the 2nd of January and everything is exactly the same. You don't know what I'm talking about? It goes through it. You know, those family issues that you were going through beforehand are still there at the same time. Those health problems that you thought you forgot about during that season, they're still there. Your kids' problems are still there. Your work issues are still going on. And sometimes life can just feel like a struggle. I'm not just talking about one or two bad days that we sometimes have, but it's one bad day rolls into another bad day, rolls into another bad day, rolls into another bad day. And those days then become a season. Rather than a short blip, you find yourself in a season, in a place where you don't want to be. And emotionally and mentally, you're just exhausted. You lack energy. You've got no motivation. You struggle sleeping. You start eating too much or you don't eat enough. You get lonely. You cut yourself off from other people. You can't get excited about things and the negative thoughts just come in. And if we're all honest, we've all been in those places and those times when it sets into us. And as a pastor, I've come across so many people who are suffering in silence. I hear words like, oh, I don't want to bother anyone else. I hear words like, you know what, I know I just need to pull myself together. I'm just being stupid. They think, oh, I've got nothing to be depressed about. We've all sat there. We've all been in those moments. We've all had those moments. We felt this. And the problem is, the more that we ignore it, it doesn't help. The more we ignore it, the further this spiral goes further and further down, and we get ourselves in a place where we shouldn't be. And then sometimes you end up talking to somebody, and they'll end up saying to you, oh, don't be so stupid. I shared often when I was younger, I really suffered with bulimia, okay? I did it through exercise and really controlling at about a two-year period where it was really bad. And I remember I once reached out to someone and they turned around and, don't worry, Jim, we'll get that stupid girl problem out of you. I was like, God bless you in the name of Jesus. And I walked away. I hid away from it. I was thinking, wasn't quite the thing you wanted to tell an 18-year-old bloke, okay? And the problem is other people can reinforce it. And then we go further withdrawn and we go, oh no, I do just need to pull myself together and I'll be okay. And you get through these and it goes further and further down. I love the fact in our current world, we're actually talking about mental health issues and we're no longer hiding away from it. But we need to look at the Bible with this. And in the Bible, one thing about the Bible is the Bible does not shy away from mental health. The Bible is actually really raw and honest. As Pentecostals, we like to blab it away, okay? We like to say, I live in the victory, amen, and we're walking along like this in front of everyone, and behind the scenes, you're really struggling. You know, someone once said to Naomi, they said to her, you're so lucky that you're married to such a bouncy, energetic person. She went, you don't know what he's like at home. He's a grumpy man. And sometimes what you see in public isn't always what you see behind when people are going through struggles. And if you Google, you go to the fountain of all knowledge and you Google, like Bible people who suffered mental health, the list goes, massive list of different guys in the Bible, men and women who struggled so much. Even Jesus had moments when he went through mental torment, when he was so struggling through it all. And he didn't know what, he's just pleading with God. Now, you guys have been reading the Bible with me in a Bible in a year, and anyone knows me, when I didn't, 1 year I didn't do the Bible in a year, I always read a psalm a day. I like a psalm a day. You know, the doctor says to you, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Okay, I'm a psalm a day sort of person. I love reading the psalms. I love going through them. I took notes on the psalms. And 1 year I went and focused on the psalms in particular. And I just took notes through. What are the psalms teaching me? And I was not, noticed a few patterns. And I thought the psalms are absolutely incredible. Because there were so many days that as I was reading a psalm, the psalm that I was reading, the psalms, the, those of you a bit confused, the middle of the book, of the, in the middle of the Bible, they psalms of prayer, to, books of letters of prayer basically written to God. And the thing I loved about the psalms is they were so real. There was times when someone had really upset me and I read it and it goes, God, I just want you to smash them over the head. I'm like, amen. There's other days when I'm feeling like there are enemies against me and I feel like everything is going against me. And there was days when I'm in tears and I read the Psalms and it says, God, I'm before you, I'm broken. And I'm like, God, this is me. And they sort of connected with me on a deeper level than I think of any other part of the Bible actually connects with me. Maybe I'm just a sad person sometimes. But they really connect with me. They connect, I find, they connect with the deepest longings and pain that we have as humans. And the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to look at two psalms. And the psalm I want to look at today is Psalm 42. Can you open it in your Bibles? Even if you don't normally open your Bibles, pull up your Bible apps and everything else, okay? Whatever you're doing this on it, because this is a great psalm for us just to look at, to read through, and just take some notes on today. Now, this psalm was written, before I go into details as you're finding it, this psalm was written by the sons of Korah. Now, the sons of Korah, they were a little bit like the Bethel music, okay, or the Maverick City music, or the Hill songs of their of the day. These were guys whose job it was to lead the worship at the temple, or at the tabernacle before the temple was built. They were from the family of Korah, that's what it says, sons of Korah, who were Levites. And this was a priestly family. So these guys were related to the priests. They run down the priest's line, sort of hereditary jobs you're given in those days. And they were in the temple just leading the worship. Are we back on? There we go. Is that where some back on now? There we go. I might have switched off by accident there. Okay. And these guys were there to make sure that the worship in the temple could happen every single week, every single day. And a group of them, they started writing these songs that people could sing together or they could pray together. And they, we know them as psalms. And these would be used in the act of worship. And this is a psalm which I think can really connect with us in a really deep way. And this is how it starts off. So Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Now, we know that verse, don't we? We sort of have that one. Yes, we sing it, in, especially as Pentecostals. Lord, I desire more of you. We start singing it. We often don't sing the rest of the psalm. It says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Then verse 3. My tears have been my food, day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the mighty one with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Just want to pause there for a minute. This is raw. This is honest. This is someone who's pouring out their heart as they write this prayer, describing how they really want God, but at the same time, they've got this torment that's going on inside them. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? This was someone who's struggling. This isn't someone who's gone in and pretended everything's great when they're writing their songs to God. This is someone being really real. They're struggling because things aren't going the way that they wanted. I have a suspicion as they're writing this psalm, they were probably saying, God, I'm struggling to pray. I'm really finding it hard. And we often quote the first verse about desiring God. But actually the context of this psalm is someone who is desperate, who is thirsty for God because things are not going the way that they wanted them to go. Things are really hard. They were like, God, I'm thirsty for you. The thing I need is you. Because they were absolutely desperate. They're at the end of themselves thinking, God, I need something from you. I need you, God. I can't keep going like this. When you're dehydrated and you're thirsty, you're desperate for water. You're desperate for the water to help you feel better, to help you keep going. And the person who's writing the psalm is saying, God, I'm so desperate for you. I'm so desperate that you come into my situation, that you change things. And I don't know if there's a reason they couldn't get to the temple or the tabernacle, what it is here. But they really wanted to go back to how things were. They needed God. They needed God to change things. And look at the next where it says, my tears have been my food. You know, there's been times in my life when I've gone through hard times, when I've gone through bouts of depression and struggles, when the tears could not stop. Has anyone been through that moment? Put your hand up if you've been through that moment. If you go look around, see how many hands are up. It's times, this is so real. We're saying, actually, you know, I'm struggling. You know, I remember a while ago, there was a time when I was going through a really low place in my life. I was just going through a really hardship, and I kind of didn't want to get out of bed. But I got up out of bed because I needed to walk the dog. I needed to get the kids to school, you know, the normal stuff. And I got up, and I remember I did the stuff that was there, and I was just absolutely broken. And I remember I was sort of holding myself together. And then I hope we got the first song come up. I was disappeared, my song. There we go. And as I was driving my car, these words came in through the radio. And it says this, are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Now, I didn't read the sin bit. I didn't hear the sin bit as they were singing it. And all I heard was this. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of it all? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. As soon as I heard those words, I remember exactly the place I was. I just blubbed and blubbed and blubbed. And I'm there going, I'm going to a meeting, Jim. For goodness sake, pull yourself together. You don't do this. And literally for the next few days, tears were my food. Every moment I struggled, every moment was really tough. I remember a time when I was leading worship here years ago, my mother had died, and I was really going through a tough time. You know when you come into church and someone says something to you, and I was just fed up. I remember leading worship here, praising God, and going upstairs and hiding on the sofa and crying, coming back leading the last song. Because tears had become my food. Tears had been there, and tears had gone through it, and I was struggling. I knew God was still there. I knew God still loved me. But at the same time, the tears and the struggles had really gotten me. And when we go through those times, we can ask ourselves the question, why am I so down? Why am I so disturbed? Why? You've got nothing to be sad about. Then we start reminiscing about the good old days when everything was perfect. I won't quote the Ecclesiastes verse for you where it says, don't look at the good old days because they're never as good as you remember. But we love to look back. And the psalmist then continues, and he says this in verses 9 to 10. He says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer, my mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? This guy's really struggling, isn't he? He's really going through something here. Some of you resonate with this. This is not a little bit of, oh, I'm having a bad day. This is deep with what's going on here. And if you go back a passage, he says this. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. a prayer to the God of my life. He's going through torment. He's like, he knows God's with him, but at the same time, his situation is really struggling, and it's like a twist, like this argus tussle that's going on inside him. And then he comes at the end here, and he goes like this. He says, my soul, why are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I love this, how he says over and over again in the Psalms. It starts off with a problem, but then it says at the end, but I will put my trust in God. I'm going through turmoil, but I'm going to make a choice to trust God. You know, in the middle of the struggles, when you're going through mental health issues, whatever the mental health issues are, and there could be so many, it's really hard to motivate ourselves. But I love how the Psalms write are honest about how they feel. But the psalmist also makes a choice. He's intentional. He says, I will choose to trust you. I will choose to look to you, God, even when I don't understand my circumstances. And guys, this is where your faith grows. You know what? And when you start a new relationship, you know, some of you might not remember back that long, okay? But when you start dating, you know that everything is really lovely and everything is really rosy and you're smooching and if you smooch, okay, and that sort of stuff. And you're going through and they're amazing. And if it's going on, you hold hands and then you have that first argument. And I'm not talking about the little bit of argument. My first argument, I'm pleased to say, was I insisted on paying for Naomi. She insisted on paying for herself. I'm talking about the deep arguments, the really tough arguments that you start having and the bits that you think, do I really like this person? And then if you make a decision, either you split it off or you stick with them. And that's sometimes with our faith. We can be in that, we're in that relationship with God. And it's when we have the moments when God doesn't do things the way that we want, when God doesn't make everything perfect for us, but we choose to say, God, I'm going to follow you. That is the day that your faith deepens and your faith starts to mature. Otherwise, you're just going to end up ping-ponging, wanting good stuff all the time in your life. And it's not always going to happen like that. There needs to be that moment of depth and growth in your relationship with Christ. It's not always going to be a bed of roses, but he's always going to be with you. And we have to make that choice to push ourselves through. Now, I just want a little couple of things which I've actually put into practice that have helped me when I'm feeling like Psalm 42. The first thing I'm just going to say, I'm not going to put it on the screen, but I want to encourage you, if you're going through struggles, the first thing to do is this. Get the basics right. You know, God has created you as a human with needs, so make sure you're eating healthily. If you're eating McDonald's every day, it's not going to help your mental health. Watch Super Size Me on Netflix, and you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you get sleep. Make sure you've got people around you, the normal stuff you do. Make sure you get exercise. If you're an introvert like me, make sure you speak to other people, not just cut yourself off, okay? That's really important because you need people. Those are the obvious things. The next thing, if you're really going through deep struggles right now, if you really can't get out of it, speak to a professional. Okay, don't just think I'm going to pray it away. God can work through, but also God can work through medical professionals. I once went through a really terrible time. I was on some medication for some stuff. And the first thing my regional leader said to me is, please go and see the doctor. I went to the doctor and the doctor said to me, well, I'm going to give you a bit of this medication. This medication will take the edge off and we can deal with what's going on under the surface. He did it and it made a huge difference. So I'm a big believer when you are going through struggles that you can get help. Okay, so B. In a few weeks' time, we're going to be launching something called Kintsugi Hope, which is what I call Alcohol Anonymous for people who struggle sometimes, okay? Whether it's through grief, depression, anxiety, and it's like low-level support. We're going to be running it in church. More details are going to come out about it. But everyone who I've done it with has raved about it. I had a group of blokes do it one day, and I thought, these guys are going to absolutely hate this talking. And the difference it made in their life was incredible. They wanted to invite their work colleagues from the factory, and I thought, are you serious? So we're going to be starting some stuff in church to help people through this. But it's a couple of things. I just want us just to leave us with a thought for today. And the first thing is this. Is I want to encourage you to write your own psalm. And I'm going to share something I did this the other day for the first time. There's something powerful about writing down and articulating how you feel. Now, I hate writing, if anyone knows me. I detest it. I love reading, but writing stuff down, especially writing about my feelings, there's no chance I'm doing it. My wife's really good and does it every day. I started journaling last year. I made a commitment to journal. I lasted 3 days and gave up. Okay, so I'm one of those. I find it really, really hard to do. But if you struggle, it's something that's really, I encourage you to do. It doesn't matter if it's terribly written or if it's really well written. It's about being raw and knowing how you feel and writing down how you feel. You know what? It describes your struggles. It doesn't have to be deep and theological. I love the Psalms because they're laments, a lot of them. 66% of the Psalms are actually God, the world's terrible, not God, the world's amazing. We focus on the 33% that do it. But write down how you feel. Write it down. Because often, when the Psalms are written, they're not all negative. Actually, there's a bit of how we feel, that turmoil inside us. There is struggles, and there's also praises as well, which reflects life. You know, one minister recently described ministry to me, and he says, Jim, ministry is battles and blessings. And I thought, that sounds like life, doesn't it? Battles and blessings. You go, yay, man, God, this is amazing. And then, oh, this is terrible. A few weeks ago in Friendly Hour, I led Friendly Hour, and I said, can you share with me what the things you're happy about last year? And near every single testimony was, this was terrible. This was a hard time I was with, but God was with me, and God brought me through. And I'm like, wow, the testimonies were all about the battles and the blessings together. I thought people were just going to celebrate the good stuff. But they celebrated the stuff God brought them through. You know, and when we write down how we feel, we're reminded about the blessings. You know, when writing a psalm, the questions you can ask yourself are these, is how am I feeling? Imagine you were God looking down at your circumstances. What do you think God would say to you? What attributes of God would help your situation? What have you to be thankful for in all that you are facing? You know, I don't do this often. I'll put my hands up here. But I find often when I do this, I start off in a bad place and I finish in a better place to where I was. You know, as you read the Psalms, you see how they write down how they feel and they start in this really terrible place. And by the end of the Psalms, they say this. They say, but Lord, I'm choosing to trust you. Lord, I choose to trust you. And it's that journey of writing down how they feel, but then turning around at the end and saying, God, I'm going to choose to trust you. First thing, if you haven't done it, give it a go. Trust me. The next thing is this. Can we say together, listen to the whisper of God. Say to the person next to you, listen to the whisper of God. Now, we've all been there. We've had a shocking week. Life's falling apart. We maybe drag ourselves to church. We endure the worship. We listen to the sermon. And we're saying, God, could you just hurry the preacher up? How long has he preached for today? And you're thinking, oh, what's this got to do with my life? And then suddenly something gets spoken and it transforms the situation. And you're there going, God, I was here. I was here for a reason. And you bounce out of church. Yes, I met with God this morning. And sometimes people have those testimonies, but it doesn't happen to me very often. Normally I sit bored all the way through. No, you guys don't, because you're listening to me today. No, I'm joking. And then everyone shares a testimony because you prayed that prayer and the amazing revelation of God that came out was amazing, and everyone celebrates and everyone claps. If I'm honest with you, it doesn't really happen to me very often like that. Often God speaks to me through the little whispers, not through some dramatic revelation. Often it's a handful of times where God has like spoken directly to me in like all blazing lights, etc. The reality is, we have a shocking week. We can't be bothered to go to church. Or if we want to, we don't be bothered to listen for God. We kind of hope God speaks to us in dramatic lights, and when he doesn't, we're just like, oh God, are you listening to me? When we pray our prayers, we feel like we're speaking to a brick wall. Has anyone felt like that? You either go, oh God, not today. Or just lie in bed. We can be Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 was like this. He'd actually been through a moment where God had done amazing stuff. And in the greatest mountaintop moment, he went straight down to the valley into deep depression. And he's in a cave and he's been grumpy with God, okay, like the average bloke. And this is what he says. The Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out. He stood in the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We know that story. If you've been around church, you know that story. It was in the small whisper that God spoke to Elijah. When he was in the cave suffering from depression, it was a small whisper. It wasn't the way that he expected it. Often, God speaks through a still small voice. He speaks in whispers. Why he does that, I don't know. Because you know, I'm not exactly the quietest person in the world. If God wanted to speak to me, she needs to shout quite loudly at me. Jim gets attention, but he doesn't. He speaks quietly, often when you don't expect it, in the ways that you don't expect. Now, Michelle will vouch for me because she gets my PowerPoints quite early. I write my sermons a couple of weeks ago. And I wrote this sermon a couple of weeks ago and I prepared it and I was sitting there. And I was a bit exhausted last weekend and I came through and I just, you know when you get exhausted, you get a little bit fed up with life? And I was really low, and I was really low. And I woke up, not just because my surname's Low, in case anyone thought that, okay. But I was really properly low. And I woke up, and I wasn't exactly the blocks. Waking up. And you couldn't understand what I was saying. My wife looked at me like I had two heads. Okay. And I got in, and I started going out, and I went through the motions. I'm like, I want to stay in bed for the next week, okay? I'm tired. I don't want to get up today. And I got up, I ran my dog. And as I was running with my dog, I thought to myself, Jim, a little bit of a hypocrite, aren't you? Because you're going to say to people next week, God's with you, okay? And you're going to talk about when you're feeling really low and your mental health stuff. And here you are being a right grizzly bear, okay, first thing in the morning. So I drag my dog around and I'm sitting thinking about this as I'm running. And then I get, and I'm like, oh, but still, it's all right. I'll still speak the sermon. It's okay. Then I get home and my daughter comes up to me and I don't really know what's going on because I'm quite quiet there. And I walk in and she goes to me, dad. And she goes and gets what these are fortune tellers. I said this to my mate and he looked at me like we'd gone down the spiritualist route. And I was like, no. Fortune teller's one of those things. You know, when you go like that as a child and you open it up and you number four. And she walks up to me with this fortune teller she made in Sunday school. And I was like, she goes, dad, could you pick a number between 1 and 8? I made a mistake, I said 5. I meant to say 1 because I was so fed up. I just wanted to get it overdone with as quick as possible, okay? And she goes, she says, Dad, just do that. And she goes, pick another number. And I said 1 that time because I was smart, I learned my lesson. And I said, she goes and she opens it up and she opens up the bottom flap and she says these words to me. She said, this is your word for today, Dad. She says, when life is sad, God is good. And I looked there and I laughed. She hasn't got a clue why I was laughing. I was like, whoa. My wife did the Sunday school the day before. She didn't even realize what she did. And I was sitting there going, God. The rest of the day, I was bouncing, actually, because I was like, in the midst of the last couple of weeks when it just felt exhausting in life, God spoke to me. The whole week, I've been sitting there going, God, life is sad. God is good. Can we say that together? When life is sad, God is good. I didn't expect him to whisper. God didn't speak to me through some prophetic word. God didn't speak to me in the Christian podcast I was listening to that morning. God spoke to me through my 8-year-old. And in that moment, I could have chosen and said it was just a fortune teller. It wasn't just a fortune teller. It was that moment that God chose to reveal himself to me and whisper. And I listened. And I thought, it's all right. The stuff does actually work, doesn't it? Okay, I'm putting it into practice today. And I then sat down, I actually wrote this, okay, and I put it through ChatGPT, and ChatGPT made it terrible. So I thought I'd do my own stuff here. And I shared this the other day, and this is what I wrote about how I was feeling, okay. So here we go. And this is what I wrote. I said, it feels like I'm waking up tired again. Another day, another set of things to navigate. It's January. Everyone is struggling. Everyone feels heavy and lethargic, including me. Life feels like a treadmill. It doesn't get any slower. If anything, it seems to get quicker. I'm living the life I dreamed of as a 16-year-old. But still, I feel like I can't fit everything in. Sometimes moments of overwhelm hit. How am I going to fit everything in? Where is God in all of this rushing and the situations that we face? Where is God in the housework? Where is God in the school run? Where is God in the paperwork? Where is God when my friends and my family struggle? Then suddenly my daughter brings me a fortune teller. She asks me to pick a number. She asks me to pick another, then another, and then another. Then she reads out, when life is sad, God is good. I smile. I didn't ask God to speak, but God did through an 8-year-old. That was just a reminder I needed that God is still working, even when I don't feel it. I know my situation is the same, but it's a reminder that I need that God is with me. If you are struggling today, God sees, God knows. You don't need to pretend that everything is okay. Be honest with God, be honest with others, and be real. Listen for the voice of God. Can we stand together? Lord Jesus. Can we just maybe close our eyes for a moment? Some of you as I was speaking there, you're like, when I was reading that psalm, it wasn't even my words, it was the psalm's words. You're like, God, that's me today. Some even the stuff that I wrote there at the end, some of you are saying, God, that's me today. Some of you maybe came to church, you didn't actually feel like coming to church, you only came because you were dragged. God sees the depths of your heart. God knows. God knows. If that's you, just a moment, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you experience the peace of God. But I also want to pray that God gives you the wisdom to make the next right step. Sometimes we try and get to the end goal before we go through the steps that God needs to take us through. And my prayer today is for you, that you make the next wise step that God has called you to. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this moment. Holy Spirit, welcome you. We welcome you into this space right now. Jesus, we welcome you into these situations right now, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who have maybe shut the door on their struggles to you, Lord. We pray that they will open the door to you right now, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who are really struggling with depression right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would open the door to you to come in, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd give wisdom for the next right thing to do. I pray, Lord, that no one in our church family will suffer alone. But you will surround them with the right people at the right time to speak, to whisper your words of hope and life into their situations. If you're here today and you are struggling, first of all, come grab someone afterwards, have a chat. But as I was praying there, I just got that picture of the door in Revelation 3. It says Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. And for some of you, you need to open that door. And you need to say, Jesus, I allow you into my situation. Some of you feel, I just get the impression, some of you, like you're holding closed that door. You've almost stopped God. You're so angry at God maybe, or different things have happened and you're not letting God in. And he says, open that door to let him come in. If that's you, it's your decision today to say, God, I'm going to allow you in. Father God, I pray that you will turn our tears into joy. That you will turn our tears into triumph. Lord, that the struggles that we are going through right now, Jesus, I really pray that you'd bring us through, you journey us through, and you bring us to the place where you're calling us to. We pray that in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for your powerful message. It was really powerful. Mental health is real. Because when I was growing up, where I come from, when you've got mental health, it's proper mental health. But I didn't know that there are different types of mental health. Anxiety, depression, it's all mental health. So that was powerful, and we learned a lot this morning. Thank you, Pastor. It's offering time. It's a blessing time as well. I just want to read a verse called 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So this morning we are going to give our offering as the worship sings.
Let's stand together as we sing and take up our offerings.
The Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give
to give this morning. Father, we pray for the offerings and the givings. We pray that those who didn't manage to get today, Father, you bless them so that they can give next time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Have a testimony-filled week. And God bless you, and God will continue to comfort you and meet you at the point of your needs. Amen.